Leading Age California represents nonprofit providers of senior living and care throughout the state, including affordable housing, life plan communities, assisted living, skilled nursing, and home and community-based care. COO Eric Dowdy joins me to talk about the issues facing older Californians, next on Studio Sacramento.
For over 20 years, Five Star Bank has created thoughtful solutions to help the Capital Region thrive. From economic development and education to public health and safety, issues that are vitally important to Sacramento's prosperity. We're proud to be part of the conversation and hope you'll join in.
So what exactly is the aging issue facing California today?
So the aging issue affecting California today is really just the demographics. The baby boomers are now entering their retirement years. So we see this big balloon. Some call it the silver tsunami. Some call it the gray wave. But it is just a giant...
The silver tsunami.
Silver tsunami. Yeah, we don't use those terms, but it is not a pejorative. I mean, it's just happening. So the silver tsunami, as you say, is really changing the face of California. So we have now, you know, 25% of the state is running into, you know, just issues with aging in general and trying to accommodate the burgeoning need for long-term care and services, for affordable housing, and just in general, kind of keeping up with the care needs.
Now the population, is it primarily when we're talking about this silver tsunami, are we talking about people from like the Korean War generation, those people that are affectionately now been tagged as OK Boomer?
Right. So those are the folks that are coming, yes, through the system now. So those are now into their, you know, it's early retirement years, and it's just going to exponentially increase in numbers as we move through the next 30 years.
How is this changing how we think about California's economy and society? What is it that we've got to be prepared for?
Well, we're getting older and we're living longer, and many retirement accounts are already dwindling. You see the move from pensions to 401ks. It's been shown that the baby boomers did not save as much as their previous generation, so there's less funds.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's interesting, because you know that there's a perspective that the boomers are sitting on top of a pile of resources, and it's the subsequent generations that don't have anything. But you're saying the baby boomers are pretty tapped too?
They are pretty tapped, yeah. So they live their lives fully, we'll say that. But
that doesn't sound like a compliment.
No, there's not a lot left over for the services. And I think that comes from the kind of a perspective that, you know, Medicare will cover long-term care needs when, in fact, it only covers about 100 days after a qualifying hospital stay. So, or you're going to be able to, I don't know, win the lottery or something at some point, so you won't have to worry about your long-term care needs. But it's something we don't like to talk about as a society. We're not focused on aging in general.
Let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned long-term care, but kind of paint the picture for us, the components of the types of needs that people that are aging, and what's the appropriate term now for elderly people?
So we say older adults.
Older adults.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So what are the, if you were to divide it, the world up in terms of the major areas of support that older adults need, what are they?
So it would be home care, and that's the largest component. And that's generally covered by in-home supportive services if you are under a certain income threshold, or you can do private home care. There's also, if you need assistance with activities of daily living or ADLs, there's assisted living, which is generally private pay in California. There's not insurance.
Now, is that in the house, or is that like that, in like an apartment complex that has assistance in it?
Right, that would be congregant living. So
okay.
An apartment complex where you'd have meals and services and assistance with medication management. And then it goes up to 24-hour custodial care, which is long-term care, skilled nursing facilities, nursing homes. That's generally the sphere. Then there are some home and community-based services out there that due prices.
So isn't all this stuff, though, covered under health insurance anyway? So, you know, it's already taken care of?
No, it's not.
No. Explain how it's not taken care of.
So health insurance is, you know, you get up till 65 and you qualify for Medicaid or Medicare. So a lot of services that people expect to see paid for by Medicare aren't, and that's largely mostly long-term care. So any nursing home stay that does not have a qualifying acute care stay associated with it, that would not be covered.
Hold on, that's jargon for me.
Oh.
What? Give me a real world.
So you'd have to be in the hospital for 3 days. And in the hospital admitted as a patient for 3 days in order to access your Medicare long-term care benefit. And that would only last for 100 days. So if you need more, you know, long-term care, more than 100 days, then that would be completely on your own. So a lot of people will run out of funds quickly if they go over the 100 days, and then they would have to either sell their homes or something to kind of divest themselves to go into the public program, which is Medi-Cal.
So in other words, in order to get help beyond your resources, essentially you have to bankrupt yourself.
Correct.
Yeah. And become indigent almost?
Yes. And the Medi-Cal program was basically a safety net program. It was never meant to accommodate kind of what it is. So we're now faced with a lot of people using it as kind of a long-term care insurance product, which it was never meant to be. So now we're focused on trying to fix that with things like the long-term services and supports financing. It's more jargon, but it's really a system that would allow people to put money away for their long-term supportive needs so they can stay in the home.
So your organization, Leading Age, advocates on these issues. Tell us what it is that typically the public doesn't understand about a condition on aging that either they're facing now or will face in the future that it's critically important for them to understand.
I think the burden on the caregiver is something that they don't really understand. I think people generally want to take care of their parents and they want to be able to be helpful. But I don't think that there's a reality that, you know, in today's life that that's actually doable for many people. So, you know, being able to access, you know, assisted living, just to have somebody, you know, take care of mom and dad during the day. There's adult day care as well. Having a place where you can know that they're safe, I think people really need to.
Bring it down to the level where we all have to engage on this issue. So for instance, if someone is going into a nursing home today, give us a sense of how much that costs. How much does home health care cost per month? Mm-hmm. Give us a sense of what that financial burden is.
Yeah, so assisted living is, depending on where you're at in the state and what kind of services you're accessing, it'll be like around $4,500 a month. Skilled nursing is about $7,000 to $8,000 a month.
And that's 24 hours a day?
That's 24-hour care. And then home care, I think it's around $200 a day or something. It would really depend on how much services you
need. So that's about $6,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
if you were to have that for 30 days a month.
Right.
Wow. That is a lot.
Right.
So how does this economic reality relate to the situation that California is facing that your organization is trying to speak to?
Yeah, so we're looking at the Medi-Cal program. That's taxpayer funded. So we're really trying to make sure that that is an intact system in the future. It still needs to be there for...
A what tax system?
Intact, sorry.
Oh.
Needs to be there for people in the future as a safety net. So our major concern is with these baby boomers who are coming into the system, not a lot of retirement savings, that they're going to need to access Medi-Cal, and then that would increase taxes on, you know, everyone else in order to pay for it. And there's better ways to do it.
Yeah, well, it raises a question. There are those who would say that we spend a disproportionate amount of the public's dollar on the aged because of the fact that, frankly, they're the ones who vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so the politicians and policymakers want to keep their jobs. So programs are designed in order to cater to that part of the population to the detriment of the young people who need support and services in order to be healthy, productive, hopefully large taxpayers mm-hmm. to fund all those services in the future. Mm-hmm. How does your organization respond to that charge?
Yeah, well, I think that's a definite concern, I think, or a perspective. I think that the fact that there are, in the past, aging has been kind of a neglected issue area. So I think there is that perception that there's this big block of senior voters that are going to get whatever they want out of the system, but that really hasn't turned out to be true. They're really more focused on, you know, everyday pursuits. You know, they want, you know, education for the grandchildren. They want clean water. So they're not really advocating for themselves as much as I think a lot of people expect. So I think it's out there, and I think that if it was the case, that would be great, because we really need to be looking at kind of a supportive system for seniors. But unfortunately, it hasn't been the case, and especially with the Brown administration, we were really struggling to get kind of money during the budgetary crisis to aging programs.
On a broader level, what is it that society owes our aged?
Well, I think we owe them a great deal. They did kind of pave the way, although, you know, no generation is perfect, and there may be more owed or less owed depending on kind of your, you know, who came before you. But really, I think what we're talking about is keeping people kind of out of the streets and in a comfortable, dignified home setting. So we're not talking about setting them up at the Ritz-Carlton or anything, but just having this basic, you know, safety net, for lack of a better word, or letting them live at home. I mean, we're not going to have a population that's going to be able to all move into assisted living communities. We just can't build our way out of this problem. So we are going to have to be very creative, and you know, that would include using technology, more home care, things like that, to kind of maintain a standard of life.
One of the big issues that's talked about in California, and certainly within this region, is the issue of homelessness. Mm-hmm. Does homelessness affect the aged in any large numbers in California?
Hugely. In fact, it's the largest growing demographic of the homeless population.
Really?
So we're very focused on that, especially at the national level. So we have housing programs that have been very successful at providing services and housing to seniors. At the national level, it's called a HUD 202 program. It's a supportive housing for the elderly. And that program has been wildly successful. It's been the kind of the benchmark for services or housing for seniors. Unfortunately, it hasn't been funded for the last 6 or 7 years at the amount that it needs to be. So you see waiting lists for affordable housing in California for about 6 years. So there are some people who worry that they might die before they get called, that they're able to move
really?
In. So it's a desperate situation, given the fact that the governor has, Governor Brown has eliminated the redevelopment agencies. That pot of money is no longer available. So we're looking at tax credits, mainly supporting the funding of construction in California, which does not really provide the deepest subsidy that we would want. So we need to do better in that area as well.
Under our current governor, though, it appears that there's a little bit more interest. As a matter of fact, earlier this year, he established a task force or commission to study aging and to come up with a master plan or blueprint of some sort. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, in June, he signed an executive order creating the master plan for aging. And that is a very ambitious timeline. He wants to get stakeholders together and get feedback on how to address the aging population and its needs by October of 2020. So we have a lot of work to do. Leading age is on the Stakeholder Advisory Committee as well as on the Research Committee. But it includes a lot of thought, a lot of different perspectives. And the goal is to not have a report that just sits on the shelf, that it's actually actionable and measurable. And there's some real energy behind it, I think.
There have been a few meetings thus far, I take it. Mm-hmm. Has anything jumped out at the participants or the people that follow these issues that has been either surprising or something that was not expected in some way?
Yeah, well, I think we're still kind of in the organizing time frame, but I think there's a lot of interest in that kind of the collaborative nature of the group. So a lot of times, you know, in politics or the political arena, groups are kind of at each other's throats, for lack of a better term, to get their piece. There seems to be a totally different approach with this administration, that we're looking for things that we can compromise on, that we can work together and really kind of move the ball forward.
Now, this initiative that your organization has started, Age On, Rage On, what is that about and what is it you're trying to say?
So it's a public awareness and public activation campaign. It's really trying to get those who are aging, and all of us basically, and people that are interested in the issue, to really get activated and involved in the legislative system. So we've talked to, or we've targeted groups of likely voters. We have about 10,000 people that have signed our pledge. To kind of get involved and take the next steps on kind of whatever comes out of this master plan for aging. So we are going to update them, we're going to talk to them, but it's really kind of an empowerment initiative for seniors to get involved and kind of take back their futures.
When you talk about the seniors taking back their futures and having some agency, one of the things that I've heard as a reoccurring issue is that in many cases, well-meaning programs, either at the state level or that have state components and federal components, don't really talk to each other. And so it frustrates the ability of people to get the resources that they need. Is there any low-hanging fruit that your organization would like to see that task force focus on to try and rectify?
Well, there's the constant issue with healthcare dollars not blending with housing dollars.
What does that mean?
So there's segregated funds for construction, and there's also healthcare funds through Medi-Cal, and the two generally never meet. It's the same way at the federal level. So I think kind of understanding that housing is healthcare, that you can't really have a healthy individual without a roof over their head, I think that is, I would say, low-hanging fruit in the fact that it's easy to understand, but then also make sure that that is translated into something in the plan, I think, is really important.
How does technology affect the issue of aging and how people age, either in place or in other facilities?
So technology is the area of, I think, greatest promise. We have robotic technologies that will, self-driving cars. We have Amazon Alexa and Google Home kind of fine-tuned for seniors so they can, you know, talk to people and, you know, get email, things like that. Medication management, we have systems that will dispense medications, be able to talk to doctors with telehealth. There's all kinds of really great systems out there. The problem is they have not been affordable or accessible or, you know, at a scale where we can actually deploy them statewide. But it's going to be, I think, a game changer, and I think it's going to be one of the things that we really need to push going into the future, since we won't have the housing infrastructure that we'll need.
Now, your organization recently received some sort of grant or involvement in something related to technology and nursing facilities?
Yeah, so we have about a $2.6 million grant from CMS. The Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, to deploy what's called It's Never Too Late in about 60 nursing homes statewide.
It's Never Too Late. What is that?
So It's Never Too Late. It's hard to describe, but it's a computer system that is accessible for people who have not had a whole lot of computer experience. So it's through touchscreens or tablets, and they're able to access all kinds of programming. So it's, you know, email, it's photo tours of, you know, Egypt, it's fitness classes, and, you know, almost anything you can imagine, you can access it right there while you're in your nursing home. So
is this kind of like a version of that type of portal that now Amazon and Facebook are selling, where it is that, you know, we could talk to our parents in the nursing home and it kind of brings them closer together so there's more interaction possible.
Exactly, yeah, and that's one of the key components. So it's to reduce isolation and loneliness, help reduce the use of psychotropic medications, and just kind of enhance the quality of life for seniors. So it's not that we're putting in fancy computers with no kind of real goal. We really have seen in other states where this is used that there is a real benefit to the residents and it's measurable. So it should be a great benefit for seniors.
I want to come back to the long-term care issue that you touched on earlier. So it's my understanding that long-term care insurance, which can help out when one becomes disabled, is separate from healthcare insurance. Mm-hmm. So you have to access that separately. The need of long-term care insurance and its availability, is that an issue where we've got a pretty good safety net, to use your words, or is that a place as well where it is that we're running a little bit behind?
Yeah, I would say we're running a lot behind in long-term care insurance. There really is no market in California if you're not in CalPERS or some other big funded retirement system. The private market is all but nothing in the state. So that's another area that we're really concerned about because there is no access. And if you're able to, get a plan, it might be really expensive. And the too expensive to pay, you know, for a prescription plus your long-term care insurance. So there's trade-offs that you have to make. So what we'd like to see is a plan that would allow kind of early payments into this system, somewhat like a disability fund, where you could pay in through a payroll deduction and then access services or access money for services out of that fund when you reach retirement.
How many, generally, okay, not the precise number, but how many seniors are we talking about in this aging population in California that exists right now and are going to grow to in the next 20 years or so?
So let's see, the number of seniors is going to double what it currently is. So it's growing twice as fast as the current rate. And it would increase, I think, I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but that doubling would increase, I think, by 40 million to 2030, if I'm not mistaken.
40 million.
Yeah.
And currently, how many seniors would you estimate as a percentage have long-term care insurance?
Oh.
To complement their
A handful.
A handful?
Yeah, it's very
probably in the single digits,
rare.
Maybe?
Yeah, I would say maybe 10 at the most.
And typically, as you said earlier, when someone ages and something catastrophic happens and they need that type of care, or they have to be institutionalized, they can go bankrupt and lose everything pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So without that type of insurance, it's in some ways, and I'm gonna take a leap here, it sounds almost like it's less scary to die because at least you know everything's over with than to potentially be incapacitated or need ongoing care in the absence of these things.
Right. Yeah, or lose everything you have and move into an institution, which some people are vehemently opposed to. So, yeah, the options are not good, and I think that's why we really need to be focusing on it now, because there's some real pain points out there.
So if there were three things that your organization could work with others to accomplish during the next 4 or 5 years, what would be considered solid wins in terms of addressing this issue for the aging in California?
Mm-hmm. Well, the three issues, I think, and we didn't even touch on workforce, which is we don't have enough people in the field. So if we're able to attract more people to work as caregivers and just work with the aging population in California, that would be a great win. The long-term financing is a really important issue. And then affordable housing. I mean, we don't have enough real affordable housing in California to address the needs. So those are, I think, our top three, and we'd welcome anyone to work with us to get those made into reality.
So for the folks that are with us listening to this conversation, if we have a loved one that is moving into senior status, into aging status,
mm-hmm.
I'll get it by the I will get this right.
Older adulthood.
Yeah. Older adult. Okay. What, as a friend or family member that cares about them, what questions should we be asking them? What conversation should we be having with them in order to make sure that they're thinking through everything and that they're preparing appropriately for what they need?
Yeah, so you're going to have to be pretty invasive. I mean, you're going to want to know their finances, what they can actually afford, and kind of what their preferences are. Do they want to stay home? Do they want to look at moving into a community? So if the earlier you have those conversations, the better. And I think if you're able to ascertain that they're able to stay home, kind of match a home care agency and start talking through options with that. If there's also a ability to move into another community, that's a costly, sometimes costly alternative that you need to make sure that you can pencil out for the duration of, you know, their life expectancy, which is another hard conversation to have.
All right. And we'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's our show. Thanks to our guests and thanks to you for watching Studio Sacramento. I'm Scott Syfax. See you next time right here on KVIE.
Thank you for listening to Studio Sacramento from KVIE Public Television. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes to help others find it.
For over 20 years, Five Star Bank has created thoughtful solutions to help the Capital Region thrive. From economic development and education to public health and safety, issues that are vitally important to Sacramento's prosperity, we're proud to be part of the conversation and hope you'll join in.
All episodes of Studio Sacramento, along with other KVIE programs, are available to watch online at kvie.org/video.